John. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 17. The name of the message is God-given. God-given. Now, we as the people of God, we have much to rejoice in, don't we? Very much. Much to rejoice in. When we consider the things that God has given to us. And He didn't have to. He gave us these things that we're going to consider, all according to His will and all according to His purpose. There was nothing in us that would cause Him to give us anything. And think of the things that we take for granted. We have air to breathe. Every breath we take is a gift from God. It is. It's a gift from God. The very air that we breathe is a gift from God. We have food to eat, provided by the Lord. Again, as we looked at one scripture in Sunday school, right? When Paul was talking about the Word of God and preaching, he says, some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. You know, it's the same for crops. Man plants his crops, but it's God who gives the increase. It's God who does it. Everything we have comes from Him. We got clothes to wear. He provides it all. It's all from something. Everything we have is provided to us by something that He's made. Something He's made. We have people to share our lives with. We have our own families. Plus, we also have the Lord's family. The best family. Yeah. Amen. Isn't it wonderful? All coming by His hand. All while we're on this earth. And then He gathers us home to see Him face to face and to still be in fellowship with those who are born again, blood-washed saints on earth. We're going to see Him again in glory. It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. And that which makes we who are the people of God marvel the most is the salvation that's been given to us. That salvation, it comes in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a full salvation. It's a free salvation. Given to God's people all according to His grace and mercy. Again, there's nothing in us that would merit this. But it's given to us by His grace. All according to His will and purpose. We who are sinners by birth, nature, and choice do not deserve this, but it pleased the Father to give it to us. To give it to us. My, it's just absolutely incredible. You know, God gave His Son for us. God gave His Son for us, beloved. He gave His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, the Word of God, the second person of the Trinity. He gave Him for us to die in our room and place. On Calvary's cross to purchase our eternal souls. It's marvelous. It's absolutely marvelous. How did He purchase our souls? With His precious, precious blood. Right? We have redemption, salvation, through the precious blood of Christ. And all that was accomplished according to the will of the Father. And you know, we've also been given all spiritual blessings in Christ. Our justification before God comes to us through Christ. Our redemption, eternal life, comes to us through Christ, who the Father gave. The righteousness that we are clothed in as believers, that allows us to be in the presence of God, is the righteousness of Christ. And it's the Father who clothes us in that righteousness. He gives it to us, beloved. How do we know that? Well, when the prodigal son was coming, the Father said, bring forth the best robe! And who put it on him? The Father put it on him. That represents the perfect, spotless righteousness of Christ put on the prodigal.
My.
In a perfect salvation. We've been given a perfect salvation all by and through and in the Lord Jesus Christ, by God the Father. Remember, He sent the Son to die for our sins. And who were our sins against? Yeah, they were against God, weren't they? You know, we may have people sin against us, but ultimately, who are they sinning against? Whose law are we breaking ultimately? Even when we sin against either a fellow believer or a friend. Who are we really sinning against? Remember what David said? He said, first of all, he said to Potiphar's wife, "You're trying to make me sin against God. And then you're trying to make me sin against Potiphar." But the first, he said, God. That's who our sins are against, beloved. That's why the Scripture declares that we were enemies in our minds with God by wicked works. But, beloved, rejoice. The perfect salvation has been wrought out for us. For we who are the people of God. For we who were the Father's choice. That's just amazing, isn't it? And that came by the sacrifice of Christ. And that sacrifice was so complete, so perfect. So complete and so perfect, beloved, that God says to His people, "I won't remember your sins anymore."
My.
So all these things have been given to God's born again, blood washed people in and through Christ alone. And then there are many more blessings given to us. You know, the Scripture declares that we are daily loaded down with benefits. Who gives us those benefits? God. We don't even see them. But the Scripture declares we're daily loaded down with benefits. And you also know that the Scripture declares that God's mercies are what? New every morning. His mercy towards us is new every morning, beloved. Isn't that wonderful? That's so comforting to our souls, isn't it? So comforting. What a Savior. What a Redeemer is Jesus Christ our Lord. And how gracious is our great God to us. He saves us by His grace. He gives us faith to believe. Shows His mercy upon us. So with that in our minds, let's read John chapter 17, verses 1 to 7. Our text will be found in verse 7 tonight. Scripture declares, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest Me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou Me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. I have manifest Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest Me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them Me, and they have kept Thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever Thou hast given Me are of Thee." My. Take notice that our Scripture tonight in verse 7 brings forth that we now know as born-again, blood-washed believers that all things whatsoever Thou hast given Me are of Thee. We know that all things that are given to Christ come from the Father. Come from the Father. Now in our natural state, we're born into this world. We do not know God. We do not know God at all. We really have no real understanding of who God is. I believe that goes on until we're born again. We really don't have a true understanding of who God is. We may have heard of Him, but until we're born again, we really don't understand how He works and His ways and who He really is, because He hasn't revealed Himself to us yet. And the Scripture declares this of the one true God. And this is why I believe that. Listen to what Listen to what the scripture says of the one true God, that he only hath an immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach. See, we can't even approach him outside of Christ, beloved. We can't approach him. Now, in Christ, we can come boldly to the throne of grace, right? Praise God. But in our natural state, we can't even approach God. And it says, whom no man has seen, but we've discovered in our studies that Christ has seen the Father, hasn't he? And he reveals him to whomever the Father is pleased for him to reveal him to. Nor can see. See, we can't see who God is. We can't see him in our natural state. Scripture there declares, whom no man has seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. So in our natural state, we can't know God. I did not know God before I was born again. I had no idea who he was. Now, I had a religious experience, and I thought I knew who God was, but I found out years later that I didn't know who God was. But then he saved me by his grace. Oh, hallelujah, he did that. He didn't leave me in that religious bondage that I was in. And marvel at the fact that Christ, who is God in the manifest in the flesh, that he was meant, do you know he's manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin? He's sinless. And yet he's manifest to take away our sins. We sinners, the just one, is manifest to take away our sins. And you know, the fact that he's manifest to take away our sins is a mystery. Scripture declares this in 1 Timothy 3:16. It says this, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God himself. God was manifest in the flesh. And this is who's speaking to us through his word tonight, right? In John 17, it's him in this high priestly prayer. God in the flesh is speaking these words to the Father. Scripture declares God was manifest in the flesh. Justified in the Spirit. Seen of angels. Angels saw what... Could you imagine the marvel of the angels' head? Look at the Master. Look at... We bow before him, and he's down here being despised by these pieces of dust. How can that be? How can that be? Oh, it's all according to God's plan and purpose. And then it says, preach unto the Gentiles. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful that he's preached among the Gentiles, because that's what I am. Believed on in the world. And that's the gift of God, isn't it? Another thing given. Faith. God given. Faith. True faith is God given faith. Believed in the world and received up into glory, where he's seated right now, beloved. And he's our mediator. Now, this prayer is full of his mediation. He's in mediation for us. The one true mediator between God and man is the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. And that's he gave his life a ransom for all his people. That's not all the world, but it's all his people. Everyone who what? The Father gave him. The Father gave him. Now, I was thinking about this today, and the false gods of man, the false gods of man always want something for you to do. You know, I read a lot of history books, and reading some books about the Vikings right now, and they were constantly in fear that they had upset their gods, and they had to do all these things to please them. And we know they're false gods. The Romans did the same thing. They had Jupiter and Mars and all these other gods. They had Fortuna, which was the god of luck, and Fortune, which we know is only providence. But they always had to do something. Whether they bought a charm to them and wore it around their necks, they always had to do something. There was always something they had to do. Always something they had to offer. Always. And all false religions are like that. Right? Think of the false religions in this world. Nothing's changed, has it? It's just got a new name on it. Right? Some say you can't worship on Sundays. You got to worship on Saturday. Some false religions say you have to be baptized to be saved. Some false religions say there's no heaven and no hell at all, only heaven. That's false. Some deny the Trinity outright. Jehovah's Witnesses, they deny that the Son is God, and they deny the Holy Spirit. My! And then you just have regular pagan religion that worships trees and rocks and stumps and all kinds of things. Puts rocks in a river so they can make their little tower up there and pay homage to the rock god, I guess. I don't know what it is. But it's just foolishness, isn't it? Absolute foolishness. They're worshiping the creation rather than the Creator, beloved, like Romans brings forth. Their mind is full of darkness, and I can say that because I was there. But for the grace of God, He saved my soul. But there's always something you have to do to be saved. Always something you have to do in man-made religion to gain merit and favor with whoever they worship. But our great God, beloved, our great God is the one true and living God. He's the one true living God. And note, He doesn't say you have to do this to be saved. He gives His Son. He gives the Son of His love. He provides the Passover lamb. He provides the salvation for us. Because it's not based, Scripture says, not by works of righteousness which you have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Right? Do you see the opposite? Man-based religion says you got to do something. God-based religion, true God, the one true living God, says just look to my Son. Just look to Him. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ and live. And live. Look and live. My. And think of this too. The one true living God sent His Son to die for us. To shed His blood for us. My, oh my. And He was again manifested. First John says He was manifested to take away our sins. And in Him is no sin. Not even a spot. He's the perfect lamb, isn't He? Just like we saw in Exodus on the weekend. That they offer up that perfect spotless lamb, right? The blood's shed. Blood's put on the lintel and the doorpost, isn't it? When I see the blood, I'll what? I'll pass over you. Oh, when God sees the blood of Christ on one of His people, He passes over them. The wrath of God, don't even touch him. Don't even touch him because it was poured out on the Savior. And we looked at it a few weeks ago. We were the fathers. The Father gave us to Christ. Now think of how much the Lord prizes us. Think of that too. Think of the great love that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit has. And think of how much the Father treasures those whom He gave to His Son. And then think of how much the Lord Jesus Christ treasures those who were given to Him by the Father. We're treasured by God, beloved. Isn't that amazing? Imagine the thing that you love the most in this world. And He treasures us even more than that. Even more than that. He treasures... I don't think I'm ever going to get over that, beloved. That's just incredible. We're His bride. We were given to Him by the Father. And He treasures us so much. The Lord Jesus Christ treasures us so much that He went to Calvary and purchased our souls with the shedding of His blood. You know, the Father gave us to Christ, like we've looked at in the past couple weeks. You know, He also preserves us. He gave us to Christ, and the Father will preserve us, won't He? He keeps us. Yeah, He keeps us. We would fall so much in one day if it weren't for the Lord keeping us. Yeah, we would be in a world of trouble. But he keeps us. And you also, he watches over us. Can you ever imagine that? Can you? We can't always fathom that, can we? We get caught up in the things that we're doing during the day, and God's got his eye on us the whole time. Just ever watching over us. With love, too. Not with a stick ready to beat us, but with love. With love. He's watching us with love, beloved. My! It's just incredible. And at the end of our time on this earth, here, pick us like a rose out of a garden and take us home to where he lives. Isn't that incredible? It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. And there we will behold. You know what we're behold? We're behold the glory that God the Father had given him from before the foundation of the world. We'll behold Christ in all his glory, beloved. And we'll be with him forever. And don't let the truths in this sweet prayer pass by overlooked. Look how much the Lord Jesus Christ dwells on the fact. And we're going to see this as we go through. I'm just going to bring these first two verses up in what we've read. But there's even more where he keeps talking about how we were given to him by the Father. Notice how he dwells on the fact that we were the Father's possession. And we were given to him according to God's eternal love and mercy and grace. Look at verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Then he says, I have manifested thy name unto the man which thou gavest me out of the world. Verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the man which thou gavest me out of this world, of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. This is just the beginning of this beautiful prayer. He continues to say that we were given to him by the Father. My, oh my. And now take note of our verse tonight. Again, we cannot know God on our own. Right? We just can't. We saw that in the text that I read about how he dwells in immortality. And we can't know him unless he reveals himself to us, right? And how does he reveal himself to us? Through Christ. And it's Christ who reveals the Father to us. So everything we know currently about the Father and everything we will know up until the day we die has all been revealed to us. We can't even take pride in what we know, can we? Because it's all being revealed. But that's good, isn't it? That's good. We don't want to take pride in what we know. We don't want to say, well, I know all this. No. That's not a humble spirit, is it? No. We marvel like this. Oh my gosh, look what the Lord taught me. Don't we? That's the spirit we have. Look what he's taught me. Look what he's taught me by his grace and by his mercy. Now, again, he must be revealed to us or we'll never know him. See the word known in verse 7. Now they have known that all the things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. Now, that word gnoska is defined in the Greek as to learn, to come to know. We've come to know who the Father is, haven't we? Not by any learning on our behalf. He's been revealed to us, hasn't he? Just as Joseph revealed himself to his brethren, who he really was, the Lord Jesus Christ has revealed the Father to us. Because in him, right, all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily, right? He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Oh my, it's wonderful. It also means to get a knowledge of. We now have a knowledge that we didn't have before. And as little as it is, right? We marvel in it, don't we? That we now know these things. We know that the Father sent Christ. I didn't know that before. I didn't, not even when I was way back in my religious days as a Catholic. I had no idea about that. I just knew they said he was the Son of God. But they never said the Father sent him. Isn't that wild? Yeah, it was all about her. Yeah, all about Mary and stuff, all that stuff. It was awful. Yeah. But just think of this too. It means to get a knowledge of, to perceive, and it's used in the Greek of speaking about the intimacy between a husband and a wife. Because only your husband and only your wife will truly know who you are, other than God. God, of course, knows us intimately, doesn't he? Intimately. But only a wife truly knows her husband, and only a husband truly knows his wife. And now let's read that verse again. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. Again, before we were born again, we didn't know who God was. We couldn't perceive him. We had cooked in our mind who we thought he was, but it turned out to not be who he was at all, right? And again, we can't come to this knowledge on our own, right? Knowledge that comes to us on our own, what does it do? It puffs us up. This knowledge humbles us. This knowledge brings us low, because we know that the great God and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has saved us. And you know why we can't come to this knowledge? Because the Scripture declares we were enemies in our minds by wicked works to God. That was our natural state. So how can one who's an enemy in their mind... I'll testify this too. Did we even want to know who God was before he saved us? I had no interest, did you? Did we even want to know the things of God before he saved us? No interest at all. Now, that's all we want to know about, isn't it? Tell me about Christ. Tell me about the Father. Tell me about the great love for me that they've had for me from eternity. Which still makes our mind just fizz, doesn't it? But it's true. We could not have this knowledge that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee without God revealing this truth to us. And had God not been pleased to reveal himself to us, we'd still be groping around dead in our trespasses and sins. And the Scripture says, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. That was our state. Now we have a hope, don't we? What a hope we have. What a hope, Jesus Christ our Lord. What a hope we have. The Lord Jesus Christ. And we have God in this world. He's guiding us and directing us and leading us. He always was, but we didn't know it. Again, because we were enemies in our minds with him. And oh, how precious we are. Contemplate this week. Meditate upon this week. And how precious we are to Christ. How precious we are to him. We don't think about that, do we? We get bogged down in our sin. And we get low in the mouth, right? Oh, Lord, I'm such a sinner. Yeah, we are. Yeah. But think upon how precious we are to Christ. Think of, we're so precious to him that he redeemed us. That he gave his life for us. That he shed his blood for us. That's how precious we are to him. And think of how precious we are to the Holy Spirit. Here we are dead in trespasses and sins, right? And he comes to us. He comes to us. He finds us. He finds God's lost sheep dead in trespasses and sins. Loving sin. Hating God. By our actions. We might not have ever said that, but by our actions, that's exactly what our actions were declaring. And he finds us in that state, beloved. And he doesn't leave us there. He regenerates us. He gives us faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then think of how precious we are to God the Father. Think about these things this week. We're so precious to the Father that He gave us to the Son. The Son of His love. He wouldn't just give His people to anybody, would He? If He gives them to the Son of His love. He gives them to the Word of God. God the Father gives us to the Word of God, who became flesh and dwelt among us and died for our sins. And then He gives us the Christ, and then He sends the Word of God into this world to die. To give His life for us. To die in our room and place. To purchase our eternal souls with His blood. And we who were once enemies in our mind, you know what the Scripture now declares? That we're brought nigh by the blood of Christ. Brought nigh, brought close to God. In fellowship with Him again. We lost that fellowship when Adam fell, didn't we? Now we gain that fellowship with God in Christ, beloved. Oh, it's wonderful. And God, the Holy Ghost, who is He who is purified and to behold iniquity, yet He condescends. The Holy Spirit condescends even to make the bodies of these poor sinners redeemed by the blood of Christ, His temple. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Oh, my. We're born again by the Holy Spirit of God, aren't we? Oh my, look at this. Do you know we're the temple? The temple of God, beloved. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Which is in you? He dwells in us, beloved? Which ye have of God? What does that just say? We have that because of God. The Holy Spirit's given to us because of God. Right? And ye are not your own. We're not our own anymore, beloved. There was a time when we lived for self, wasn't there? Now we live for Christ. Isn't that amazing? Look what it says. For ye are bought with a price. And oh, what a price, beloved. See, our salvation did cost someone. The Lord Jesus Christ shed His blood. We're bought with the precious blood of Christ, beloved. We're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are what? God's. We're God's by creation. We're God's by choice, beloved. And we're given to Christ by God. My. Let's read verse 7 again in John chapter 17 with that in our minds. Let's go back to John 17, 7. It says, then now they have known that all things, that means God's people, that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. Remember last week I said God put all His eggs in one basket? He sure did, didn't He? All in Christ. And note that He was manifested to manifest God's name. Look at verse 6. I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them me, and they have kept Thy word. See where it says they have kept Thy word? That means we believe the gospel. John Gill brought that forth. That means we believe what Christ said. We believe the declaration of our Lord. That He came from the Father. We believe that. And that ties right in with our verse, which says again, now they have known that all things whatsoever Thou hast given are of Thee. And He was manifested again. He was manifested to reveal God to us. To those people whom the Father gave Him. And again, we kept His words, it says in verse 6. Again, that means to believe the gospel. And we believe the gospel, don't we? We believe it. And our Lord, He emphasized that the words which He spoke were the words of the Father. He emphasized that all through the Gospels. And that the works that He did were the Father's works. He always gave glory to God the Father. And He also emphasized that He came to do the Father's will, didn't He? Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Do you know He didn't take upon Himself, He didn't make Himself a high priest. God made Him the high priest. Do you know that? God made Him the high priest of His people. Because the apostle wrote this in Hebrews 5:5. So also Christ glorified not Himself to be made a high priest, but He said unto Him, Thou art My Son, today have I begotten Thee. See, God the Father made Him the high priest of His people. He always sought the Father's will, beloved. He always sought to glorify God, the Father. And when the Father raised Him from the dead and exalted Him, He gave assurance to all that Jesus Christ is His anointed, ordained, and designated Redeemer. Scripture declares this. In the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Because He hath appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness. There's a great day coming. There's a great day of judgment coming. By that man whom He hath ordained, that's Christ, all judgment is in Christ's hands. Whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He hath raised Him from the dead. That's Acts 17, verses 30 and 31. Now look at Hebrews chapter 10. May we let all know that all things, such as all power. Now think of this. All power has been given to Christ. By who? The Father. All power over all things. All spiritual gifts have been given to Christ. And all things pertaining to the kingdom of God are of the Father. And they're His by appointment. His by appointment. His by decree. His by His divine will. So not only did God purpose and plan our salvation, but it was all according to His divine appointment and all according to His divine decree. Isn't that amazing? He purposed this in eternity. And what God says He's going to do, He will do, won't He? And He shall not fail. So may we let all know, all we meet, all who the Lord opens the door for us, may we let them know that Christ has all power. All power. And they're all His by appointment, decree, and according to God's will. Look at this in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 to 14. Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared Me. Now, all those Old Testament sacrifices couldn't take away sin. They were pointing to the one, the Passover Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who would take away the sins of His people. Look what it says. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou had no pleasure. He wasn't satisfied with them. Who's He satisfied? Who's God satisfied in? Christ. He's satisfied with His sacrifice, isn't He? In our room and place, beloved. It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. And then it says, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It's written of Me. This whole book is written about Christ. It's all about Christ. Why did He come? To do Thy will, O God. He came to do the will of the Father, beloved. Now, we believe that, don't we? You know why? Because He's revealed God, the Father, to us. And we believe what Christ says. We didn't believe what He said before the Lord saved us. Now we believe every word this word says. We believe it. I don't understand it all, but I believe it all. Oh my, it comes from my King. It's authored by the Holy Spirit of God. Look what it says above, verse 8. Above, when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadest pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, again he's saying it, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Once for all of God's elect. Once. One sacrifice for sin. The Lord Jesus Christ. See how there's nothing we can do? Nothing. Christ offered himself up once for all the sins of all his people. Once. And every priest standeth daily ministering and oftentimes the same sacrifice which could never take away sins. Look at that. All those Old Testament sacrifices could never take away sin. I once had somebody tell me, I was talking to them one time. I couldn't believe this, that they said this, but they told me, they said, God's people are saved by the blood of Christ, but the Jews are saved by the sacrifices. And I said, no, they're not. Sacrifice can't save no one. Oh, no, they are. They're saved by the sacrifice. I said, no, the scripture plainly declares. And look at what we see right here. In every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, right? So those ordained sacrifices that God had those people offer, right? He told them, you offer this for this, you offer this for this, right? But they could never take away their sins. They were pointing, though. They were pointing to the Great One. They were pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 12. But this man, this being Christ, Jesus our Lord, after he offered one sacrifice for sins. Now think of that. Look at that. One sacrifice for your sins, Dave, for my sins, for Jill's, for Dee's, for all the elect of all the ages. Think of that. One sacrifice for all our sins. Now, we have enough sin in us to condemn thousands of souls to hell, don't we? Millions, yeah, millions. And look at this. He offered himself up for our sins once. And not just ours, but all the elect, all that the Father had given him. A number that you can't even number. Can't even come close to numbering. He offered himself up for all their sins. That's what the scripture declares here. Look at that. Once. Offered up one sacrifice. One. There was multiple sacrifices in the Old Testament, right? Thousands of sacrifices. Could never take away sin. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, God incarnated in the flesh, offered himself up once for sins. Look at this. Forever, too. Forever. One sacrifice and our sins are forgiven forever. Isn't that wonderful? Never to be remembered ever again by God. Oh, and then what did he do? He sat down on the right hand of the Father, right hand of God. You know why? Because it's finished. There's no more work to do. That high priest, he had to keep going, right? There's no chair in the Holy of Holies. But Christ, he's done. He's finished the work and he's sitting down. It's done. There's absolutely nothing to be added to that work. And then look at this. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering, look at this, hath he perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now we're still sinners, aren't we? But in God's eyes, are we still sinners? Nope. We're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Perfect. In God's eyes. Isn't that amazing? And yet here we are. We're still sinners going through this world. He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Let's read verse 7 again. Of John 17. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. So we know, beloved of God, by revelation of God, that all things that the Father has given him were the Father's possession. And he's given them to Christ. Think of this. All the temporal things in this world, right? All the things that we see, all the galaxies that we don't see, all the fullness of this world, all the fullness of heaven, all the fullness of the earth, all power and governing this world, all power and governing the whole universe, everything that we see and that we don't see, everything visible and invisible is in Christ's hand because it was given to him by the Father. All power is our mediator, right? There's only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. God the Father gave him that mediatorial office. My, all spiritual things are found in Christ, the covenant of grace, with all its blessings and promises. Even the Spirit of God is given to us by him. Oh my. All his gifts, all his graces, all his mercies towards us. Eternal life in glory. Everything relating to the office of mediator. Of Christ being the one mediator between God and man were given to him by the Father. All power, think of this too, all power to perform the miracles that he did. Right? He always gave glory to God for them, didn't he? He always gave glory to God for them. All knowledge and wisdom that we have to preach as preachers is being given to us by the Father through Christ. Through Christ, all gifts that God's people have been given to us through Christ by the Father. And think of this, the strength for Christ to accomplish the salvation of his people was given to him by the Father. The fact that Christ is the head of the church was given to him by the Father. And the final judgment of all the world was given to him by the Father. All these things, including we who are the elect, we were given to Christ by the Father. My. And you know how all those things happened? According to the good pleasure of his will. Of the Father's will. All done also by the Father's appointment. And all because of the great love that God has for his Son. And the great love that God has for his people, who he gave to Christ. Why? That he might receive all the glory and all the honor and all the praise, beloved. And he gets it all from us, doesn't he? He gets it all. He gets it all. God receives all the glory from his people. And even Christ sought to glorify the Father while he was on this earth. That's what he did. My, oh my. So this week, let us meditate upon the fact of all these things that have been given to us through Christ. It's remarkable, isn't it? It's amazing. One might say, it's almost too good to be true. No, it's not. Because it's given to us by God, beloved, in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And all we can say is hallelujah, right? Praise his mighty name.